Welcome to the Wednesday, October 5th, 2005 podcast of the National Center for Science Education. Today's podcast features Nick Motzke discussing the expert witness testimony of Barbara Forrest in the Kitzmiller et al. Versus Dover Area School Board trial currently taking place in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This is part one of three parts.
Today is Wednesday, October 5th. My name is Nick Motzke. I work for the National Center for Science Education. And today I am going to be reporting on the testimony of Barbara Forrest. Barbara Forrest is a professor at Southeastern Louisiana University. And she is a professor of philosophy. And she testified as an expert on the history and philosophy of science in the case Kitzmiller et al. Versus Dover Area School District. I just want to say today I'm solo, but hopefully we'll have some other guests in the future. And I just want to say, since I'm solo, I'll take a bit of time here, that I personally am incredibly thrilled to be a part of this case. Watching this come together has been an amazing process over the last 9 months. Working for the National Center for Science Education, we've been able to work closely with the legal team and consult for them. And I think we gave them a lot of guidance early on, which I think has really helped the process along. Of course, at this point, the legal team, the lawyers, are so incredibly hip on all the various obscure aspects of evolution and intelligent design that at this point, I feel like the train has left the station, and it's really the entire case is just cruising along very well, which is exactly what you want to happen. But it's been a thrill to be a participant in this process, and now I can just kind of watch things move along and progress as they are going in this case. Every witness we've had so far has really hit a home run as far as I'm concerned, and I think the same thing happened today with Barbara Forrest. If you're interested, by the way, in transcripts of the trial, go to the NCSE Kitzmiller website. I bet you could Google it. Or just go to www.ncseweb.org/Kitzmiller and you should see it. And we are posting transcripts as soon as they get posted in the docket of the court. So if you want to read the full events of what happened on a particular day, just go and download those. So let's talk about Barbara Forrest. We knew that today was going to be a different day than the previous witnesses. All the other expert witnesses have been agreed to by both sides, except for Barbara Forrest. And this was basically because Barbara Forrest has devastating testimony for the prospects of intelligent design in this case and in the national media and in public opinion. And so the defense, the Thomas More Law Center, was clearly going to attempt to exclude Barbara Forrest. They filed a Daubert motion before the case started, just before the trial started. A Daubert motion. Daubert is versus Dow Pharmaceutical is a Supreme Court case where the federal guidelines for the testimony of experts was worked out and guidelines were handed down by the Supreme Court. And so one side of a case can challenge another person, challenge the expert witnesses of the other side if they don't think they're qualified, or if they want to get them excluded. Normally this applies to scientific experts, and there's a number of criteria that are used, and these involve testability and acceptance in the scientific community and features like that. In the case of a historian or philosopher like Barbara Forrest, it's more of a gray area, and the criteria are not so laid out, and it's much more, has the person done the work? Do they use normal scholarly procedures? Do they have specialized knowledge? And so that was the question before the court this morning. And for the morning session, that is from about 9 to 10:30, the first of two morning sessions, the two sides had a big argument about whether or not Barbara Forrest would be qualified as an expert. This began with Eric Rothschild doing a direct examination, asking Barbara Forrest about her qualifications. She's been a professor for decades at Southeastern Louisiana. She did her PhD at Tulane on Sidney Hook, a pragmatic naturalist, so she knows a lot about the philosophy of naturalism and how that interacts with education. And she knows a lot about the distinction between methodological naturalism and philosophical naturalism, which is an important thing to understand if you're going to study the ID movement. A lot of what they do does not make much sense unless you understand the difference between methodological naturalism and philosophical naturalism. So you'd really be at sea if you don't understand some of these basic philosophical issues. So this is why it's important to have somebody with some philosophical training to study the history of the ID movement. Barbara Forrest was also asked, for example, what are the different kinds of creationism? And this has prompted one of many objections from the defense on the grounds that she had not yet been qualified. And so there was an argument about whether or not Barbara Forrest was just defining the terms that she was going to be discussing as an expert, or whether or not this was testimony it should be wait until after she'd been qualified. She was allowed to do basic definitions, but not to go beyond that in her in the testimony on her qualifications. Barbara Forrest was asked how long she'd been studying this issue. She's been studying it since about 1998. The Discovery Institute Intelligent Design Program was begun in 1996. They started getting a lot of press a few years later. And that's when she began to follow it, particularly when the wedge strategy came out. So she's been working on this for a good long time. They discussed her book, Barbara Forrest's book, Creationism's Trojan Horse, which is an excellent, if long, and somewhat, highly detailed read. Her co-author is Paul Gross, a biologist, and together they examine the history and the science of the intelligent design movement. Barbara Forrest worked on that book for about 3.5 years, and it's got hundreds and hundreds of citations in it. I think the key question that Eric Rothschild asked Barbara Forrest was, how do you study a movement, something like the intelligent design movement? It's not as if you can take one person and say that that represents the movement. And it's not as if you can only study a few articles and say that that represents the movement. You have to look at everything that's available, both the primary literature that they write, you know, the actual articles and books that they write, as well as the media appearances that they make and what they say in those fora, in newspaper articles, in op-eds that they write, in interviews they do, in radio programs they do, also the conferences they have. And as available, things like fundraising letters, brochures, pamphlets, conference advertisements, everything the movement does is part of the movement and helps you get a bead on what is actually going on, what's motivating the movement, what are their real goals. So Barbara Forrest went through this in some detail, and I think that helped a lot in the qualifications process. It's not something that just anyone can do, and it's not something you can just do with an internet search. It requires a lot of real hard research. And a lot of compiling materials, being systematic, going through everything. And so this is why Barbara Forrest had specialized knowledge, working on that book, writing a number of articles on the topic, and then compiling her expert report, which had, you know, itself had 49 pages and many, many footnotes, at least probably 100 or more footnotes in Barbara Forrest's expert report, which, by the way, is online. I encourage everyone to go read that. So this was the direct examination to qualify Barbara Forrest as an expert. And then, as expected, the defense objected. Robert Mews conducted the voir dire, which I believe is V-O-I-R-E-D-I-R-E, but I'm not a lawyer. You might have to double-check that. But essentially, that's a Latin phrase. It means come, look, and see. And this is the phase where basically the expert witness, the proffered expert witness, is cross-examined on credentials. And the defense can ask questions to attempt to show that the person does not have specialized knowledge and that they should not be qualified as an expert. Frankly, the defense objections to Barbara Forrest were quite obscure, and I didn't really understand where they were going with it. Robert Mews began by asking Barbara Forrest if she knew, if she had specialized knowledge about the genetic code, the bacterial flagellum, the blood clotting cascade, the immune system. These are things that Michael Behe loves to talk about as irreducibly complex systems. They also asked about Dr. Dembski's book, The Design Inference, which is a technical treatise on probabilistically inferring design. However, it itself does not really address biology. she was asked about things such as methodological naturalism. And it was kind of confusing when they went at this issue because they seemed to be basically doing a cross-examination on what she was going to say and not really challenging her qualifications. The point with the scientific things was essentially to disqualify her as a scientist, but she was not called as a scientist. She was called as a historian and a philosopher. So that was confusing. There are other expert witnesses that are designated to testify on the science or alleged science of intelligent design. One question she was asked was if she had conducted personal interviews of the intelligent design leaders, and she had said no, and quite deliberately, because her goal was to look at the movement as it presents itself to the media, as it presents itself to other interviewers. It was not her goal to do sort of the thing that journalists have done, which is interview these people. Like Larry Witham has done this extensively and written several books on this topic by going and interviewing the people in the intelligent design movement. It's much more looking at how they present themselves to the media and to the public that Barbara Forrest is examining. At this point, cross-examination started getting into Barbara Forrest's associations. For example, the ACLU, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, she's a member of both those organizations. The New Orleans Secular Humanist Association, which is not exactly the world's largest atheist group, but it's 40 or 50 people in New Orleans who are interested in secular humanism. Barbara Forrest has told me that after the hurricane, this group has been scattered all across tarnation because these people, you know, many of their houses have been destroyed or they're underwater. Some of the people in the New Orleans Secular Humanist Association are unaccounted for. They're probably all right. Everyone hopes they're all right, but it's been tough to get everyone in touch. So as that organization currently exists, it's scattered all across Alabama or Louisiana and many other places. But Barbara Forrest's critics always make a huge deal out of the fact that she's a member of the New Orleans Humanist Association.